Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to begin to read at verse number 10, please. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm beginning to read at verse 10. Do remember the drive-in church this afternoon. As you'll know from the news bulletins, Israel is very much under attack at the moment. The rockets have been raining in from Gaza. Hamas are doing their best to try and destroy Israel. Well, we want to open up the Word of God this afternoon and look at some scriptures that show how Israel indeed is going to be under attack in the future, and yet God will step in a wonderful and a mighty way. So do spread the word around. My subject will be Israel under attack, and invite others in under the sound of the gospel. So that's this afternoon at 3:30 up in the sale yard. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm beginning to read at verse number 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst amongst them and slay them, and cause the work to cease.'" Verse 12. "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses.' And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, and they builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, and with those that laden, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, 'The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In that place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet. Resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us.' So we laboured in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, 'Let every one with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labour on the day.' So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing." And we do trust God to bless the public reading of his own precious, inerrant, infallible and inspired word to our hearts this morning. Last week we found that there was some trouble in the rubble. This morning we're going to discover there's discouragement in the debris. There's going to be discouragement here. Some of God's people are going to be discouraged, and unfortunately then they become discourager. God's people have been building the walls here in Jerusalem. They had suffered ridicule from their enemies. We looked at that last week. But in spite of the provocation and in spite of all that was said, they built the wall. The wall was halfway up. But this morning, as I say, we're moving from ridicule to discouragement. And I wonder, is there anyone here discouraged this morning? I wonder, even watching from home this morning, are you discouraged? Are you not where you once were with the Lord? And is your walk with the Lord not as it should be? And you find yourself downcast, you find yourself discouraged this morning. Nehemiah and the people of God were involved in a rebuilding plan that was done with the sole purpose of bringing glory and honor to the Lord. And when you seek to do something for the Lord, it's inevitable that things would become difficult along the way. It's inevitable that there was going to be discouragement. It's par for the course that when you seek to go on with the Lord, when you seek to build your life spiritually, when you seek to build your home, build your marriage, build whatever you're building at the moment, when you get involved and seek to do everything to bring glory to the Lord, it's inevitable there's going to be opposition and there's going to be discouragement. Let's notice, first of all, this morning what I've called the plan of the persecutors. I want to say something about the timing. Look at verse number 6 in Nehemiah chapter 4. We looked at this last week. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Notice that the job was half done. I don't know whether this happens in your house, but when our children were smaller, they would take a notion coming up to Christmas, we want to put up the Christmas tree. And they would go in with all guns blazing. When it would get halfway, they would lose interest. And suddenly they would just leave it the way that they had started. And some people tell us that halfway is the most difficult time. Halfway in marriage can be the most difficult time. There are the early years, the honeymoon, there's the joy, there's the sparkle. And then when you get into the mid-years of marriage comes the difficulties, the trials, the tests. And these are the difficult years. In the eventide of life, you see couples together and so much in love. And it's those middle years, I'm told, that they find are the most difficult. It's halfway. It's halfway. When we're halfway there, there seems to be that increase in trouble and burdens and trials and all sorts of difficulties. The Lord Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord would tell us to take one day at a time. And maybe we're at the halfway stage in someone's life, in someone's spiritual life, in your walk with the Lord. And sometimes when we're climbing this hill, when we're pressing on the higher ground, when you get up to the halfway stage, it's so much easier just to roll back down again than to keep walking upwards and keep walking on that higher plane with the Lord Jesus Christ. As you seek to build your life, as you seek to build your family, as you seek to build your home, as we seek to build this church spiritually and even literally, as we seek to put our hands to the plow, there's always a danger at that halfway stage. The devil will seek to discourage. You see the timing here. You see the target here. Look at verse number 11. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them. I just want to catch that last phrase in verse 4. And cause the work to cease. Here's the aim of the enemy: to cause the work to cease. The devil wants you to give up building your life spiritually. For you to say, look, it can't be done. I've tried it. I just can't do it. And to roll back down again into bypath meadows, into the wilderness, into a backslidden condition, perhaps even for some. The devil wants you to give up building your life, give up that service for the Lord, give up using your talents for the glory of the Lord. Just lie back, roll down the mountain and leave things in the condition that they are in. Let the testimony of the Lord be a reproach. That's what the enemy wants. And I just wonder again this morning, is there anyone here in the valley of discouragement? It can be spiritual things, that can be even in our work, in our homes, in our marriages, and in so many things we find ourselves being discouraged this morning. You see the plan of the persecutors. The devil would want you to give up, to cease the work. And the pressure is on the people of God just to throw in the towel and to say, I've had enough. You see the plan of the persecutors. Then you see the piling on of the pressure. What we find in verse 10 is the first note of discouragement among the people of God. It had to come, didn't it? There was that zeal that Nehemiah had enthused them with, and they were prepared to build the wall. They even had the opposition last week, and still they so built we the wall, and they put their hand to the plow, and they really put their backs into the work. But here's a chink in the armor. Here's a crack appearing among the people of God. Look what it says in verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so it were not able to build the wall. Notice something unlikely here, Judah said. If you know your Bibles, you'll know the place of Judah and the plan of God. In Genesis chapter 49, remember old Jacob gathers his sons around, and on his deathbed, he's giving each one of them their pedigree. He's also giving a prophecy concerning each one of them. And you know, he talks about Judah. And he says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah was promised a special place. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 tells us, Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but his birthright was Joseph. It was Judah that led the children of Israel. They were the leading tribe. It was Judah that was numerically superior. It was Judah that first received their inheritance in the promised land. And Judah's dominance came true as the prophet said it would be. From Judah come some of the greatest men of God. From Judah came Daniel, came David, came Caleb, came Jabez, came Boaz, and of course from Judah came Christ. Judah would provide us eventually with the Messiah. Judah means praise, and of all the tribes, and of all the people, here's the least you'd expect to be discouraged. And there's a couple of things this morning. Don't ever think that those in leadership don't be discouraged. Don't ever think that the pastor doesn't get discouraged. The elders don't get discouraged. Those who work with the young people and those who work with Sunday school children and the work among the boys and girls and the ladies work, don't ever think that those who are in charge and look after these things and they're doing it for the Lord, don't ever think that, don't be discouraged. And the antidote is that you and I become encouragers. Encourage them by your support, by your attendance. Encourage them even just with a little word in season. And Judah means praise, but the praise was gone. They're no longer singing praises, they're singing the blues. And they've lost their song and they've lost their joy. And they're discouraged. And in their discouragement, they became discouragers. And maybe you're discouraged this morning and you're discouraging others. And this is the danger. You see something unlikely. Judah, it could be you this morning. You see something unbearable. What was the problem? Look at verse 10 again. And Judah said, of all the people, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. They're weighed down. They're overworked. There's not enough days in the week. There's not enough hours in the day. There's so much to do. There's not enough time to do it. Yes, they'd worked tirelessly on the wall and so much had been accomplished, but there was so much more to do. And they said, it's just too much. And as you look around your home, is it too much? Your marriage, your life, your walk with the Lord, does it all seem just too much? When Harry Truman was told that he was going to become the president, when I can't remember, Eisenhower died, and he said it was just as if the sun, the moon, and the stars had fallen on top of him. That's how Nehemiah must have felt. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. You're weighed down, you're fatigued, you're burned out, and you're a character or a candidate for discouragement. You see the unlikely, Judah. You see the unbearable, and then you see the unmovable. Look at verse 10 again. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. So much rubbish. About, they looked at the rubble, they looked at the debris, they looked at all that was piling up around them, and they just couldn't see any end to it. There was rubbish everywhere. Tell me, is your life filled with rubbish? Because sometimes our lives are filled with so much rubbish. Rubbish is anything that hinders your walk and your work for the Lord, anything that hinders your growth in the Lord, your communion with Him, your fellowship with Him, your walk with Him, your love for Him. The joy of the Lord should be your strength, but there's that much rubbish about. Have you filled your life with rubbish? Sometimes, you know, churches can be full of rubbish. I'm not talking literally. You know, in the church at Corinth, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. And here he mentions some things, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. What rubbish to find in the church. Debates, that's arguments, envyings, that's people want to have something that somebody else have. Strifes, again, just another word for arguments. Indeed, the word strife was used of someone trying to get votes. I don't know about the political parties, and they were trying to elect leaders, but I've no doubt there was canvassing going on. And no doubt the potential candidates were canvassing people to try and woo their vote. Sometimes you get it in the church, it's diabolical. We have someone who feels aggrieved, and then they try and get a little party behind them. And they look for votes, for candidates to be with them and to back them and to support their argument. Dear believer, if someone comes to you with a gripe and tries to draw you in, understand it's from the devil. And it's rubbish. Don't be sucked in. Don't be taken in. Debates and envyings and strifes and backbitings. We know what backbitings are. Whisperings is secret of slander. Things said under your breath about someone to someone else. And this is what the church in Corinth was like. There were swellings. People who felt they were so important, they were puffed up. And somebody must have burst their bubble and they didn't take it well. And Paul says, this is rubbish. You need to get it out. Or don't let it come in. Too much reading of rubbish in the church. You know, Paul went on in these verses. Here's what he said. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you. And that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the... Here's things he mentions. Uncleanness, fornication, lasciviousness. Uncleanness, fornication. These are sexual immorality. And child of God this morning, God's asking you this morning. I'm not asking you. Is there filth in your life? Is there filth in your life that needs to be taken out? No wonder you're discouraged. No wonder there's no growth and no going on with the Lord. And there was so much rubbish about there. They're so discouraged. I was told about a developer who bought a rubbish dump in the United States, and he leveled it. And he built houses on it. And people told him, listen, that's no good. You need to more filling. You need to do this and do that. But he didn't bother. He built the houses. He sold them. And the houses started to crumble and to crack because they were built in rubbish. You can't build your marriage in rubbish. You can't build your spiritual life in rubbish. You can't build your home or your family. And you can't build a church in rubbish. And there was that much rubbish. The rubbish had to go. There had to be a spiritual spring clean. You know, Paul had to do that in his life. He lost everything. Do you know what he said when he got rid of it all? He said it was dung. That's what he said. That's the word he used. Dung. He wouldn't let anything get between him and the Lord, and he got rid of all the rubbish out of his life. You see the unlikely, Judah. You see the unbearable. They were fatigued. They were worn down. You see the unmovable. So much rubbish had come into their lives. You see the unable. Look at verse 10 again. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. We're not able. Do you remember the 10 spies that went in to view out the land of Canaan? We are not able to go up against this people. Is that how you feel this morning? I'm not able to go on. I can't do this. The church can't do it. We can't build. We're not able. We're not able to build our lives spiritually. We're not able to do anything that God wants us to do. And here is unbelief has gripped their heart. I wonder, is there anyone discouraged this morning? Can you identify with what's going on here in the days of Nehemiah from the unlikely source? Listen, you and I are candidates for discouragement. The unbearable, the unmovable, the unable. Then came the unbeatable. Look at verse number 11. Not only is there discouragement within, but the enemy hasn't gone away. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The enemy says, we're going to come in surprise attacks. We're going to ambush them. We're going to hide behind a hedge like terrorists. and them trying to attack someone on their way home. We're going to come when they least expect it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, when the lion's walking, you're not too threatened about it, but if it starts to run, you'd be scared. And the old devil can slip in like a walking lion. Then he has you. You're caught unawares. You see the slaying as well. They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them. This was serious. This was a real threat of a real attack. And you see, here's the people of God, and they've got fatigue, and now they've got fear. And you know, fear and faith cannot coexist. The Lord says, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" I wonder, are you filled with fear this morning, a fear of the future? As you look at what's going on in the world, there's a fear for our families. There's a fear for the church. We so many things can go wrong. There's a fear of your own walk, and no wonder you're discouraged this morning. You see the unlikely, the unbearable, the unmovable, the unable, the unbeatable. And then look at verse 12. Here's something unhelpful. And it came to pass that when the Jews, here are Jews, some of their own people, which dwelt by them, do you see where they lived? You see, there were Jews that lived among the enemy. They hadn't come out and been separate. And now, I don't believe they're involved in the building program. They're coming along to the workers, these Jews that are in the world. These Jews that have been content with the rubbish and the rubble, and the walls never to be built. These Jews who are quite happy just to mingle with Sanballat and Tobiah and the sorts. If you like, they were like ecumenical Jews. And these Jews came among them, verse 12. And it came to pass, when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And you see the discouragement. And they say it 10 times, over and over and over again. Same old thing, same old discouragement. You feel like saying, change the record. And this is going in to the people of God's ears, and they're becoming so discouraged that everything looks hopeless. During the Boer War from 1899 to 1902, a man was convicted in a town called Ladysmith in South Africa of discouragement. He went round the troops and he kept sowing seeds of discouragement, and they court-martialed him and he was found guilty. We're not into court-martials, but I wonder this morning, would anyone here be charged with being a discourager? Wouldn't it be great to be an encourager? How I thank God for encouragers. How we need encouragers among the people of God. You see the plan of the persecutors. You see the piling on the pressure. They wanted the work to cease. Discourage is defined in the dictionary as to deprive of courage, to deter, to dishearten, all the D words. Are you disheartened this morning? You see the plan of the persecutors, the piling on of the pressure, and then you see the plea to proceed. How's Nehemiah going to do it? Well, let's read on this morning. Look at verse 14. Notice the focus. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people. And Nehemiah's just coming to the congregation, if you like. He says, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Be not afraid of them. What an exclamation. Remember the Lord. What an exhortation, which is great and terrible. What an explanation. Remember the Lord this morning. Get focused on the Lord this morning. He's been great in the past. Paul says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Christ was raised from the dead. Great in his past doings. Great in his present doings. Great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Great in his future dealings, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is great and terrible. He's awesome. He was awesome in the past. He's awesome today, and he'll be awesome tomorrow. Will you turn your eyes upon Jesus this morning? You see, Nehemiah wants them to get their eyes off the walls and the work and the rubbish and to look heavenward and to see the Lord. You see, it's too big for us, but God can make us big enough for it. If you'll look to him this morning, if you'll trust him this morning. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul said in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to the one this morning who went to Calvary and paid redemption's price and died and was buried and rose again. What a victorious Savior. Don't be downhearted this morning. Don't be discouraged. Will you get your eyes on Christ this morning? You see the focus? And then he talks about our families. Look at verse 14 again. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight. Fight for who? Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Fight for them. This wall is not just a wall. This is to bring glory to the Lord. This is to protect your family, your brethren. This is to protect your home. This is to have somewhere that your children will see the glory of the Lord and look back and see how God has blessed in the past. Listen, we're not building walls here. We're building lives. Somewhere where families can hear the glorious gospel of Christ. Somewhere where people can be built up in their most holy faith. This is what we want to build. And remember, it's worth fighting for. Whatever it takes, it's worth fighting for. Nehemiah says, get your focus right. Get your family in view here. This is all about your family. And then he talks about the fight. He already mentioned it in verse 14. Fight. In verse 13 he says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even sent the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And you see, the people were going to have the armor, and they were going to go to the lower places. You know, there are places where we're vulnerable. Nehemiah knew the people were spread around this wall. There were some places we're vulnerable. And we all have weak spots. All of that place where the old devil can get an entrance. Nehemiah wants the weak spots covered and the strong spots covered. Verse 16, it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall, and they which bare burdens with those that laid it, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. This is where the phrase, the sword and the trowel comes from. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. They were armed. The sword was by their side. Don't let your sword out of your sight. Don't let your sword out of your sight. Do you know where it's at? Do you know how to use it? You see, they were armed. They were arranged. Some watched, some worked. As I say, and there were those who had a sword and a trowel. They would do both at the same time. Look at verse 22. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night there may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. They watched each other's back. They didn't stab each other in the back. They would say to each other, you go ahead, I've got your back. I've got your back. And I hope you've got his back, you've got her back, child of God, this morning, whoever it is. Oh, there's no stabbing in the back here. They're watching each other's back here. Notice what it says in verse 15. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. The enemy was no match for God. The people didn't quit. The work was not too much for them. They had become overwhelmed, but Christ is getting them to focus. And Nehemiah says, focus on the Lord. Fight for your families. This is worth doing, and it's worth doing well. And he arranged them. And so they were rearranged that they could continue the work and watch at the same time. Sometimes discouragement comes because our lives are such a mess. I often point to the feeding of the 5,000 when the disciples couldn't work it out. How's the Lord going to do this? Far, far too many people here, he says, arrange them in rows. Is your life so disorganized? I know we like to talk about multitasking, but maybe you're multitasking too much. And you need to reorganize your life and get the important things in line and in order. And Nehemiah rearranges them here. Remember, we don't want you to be discouraged. The Lord doesn't want you to be discouragement. You know another remedy here for discouragement? Work. Work. That's what Nehemiah said. Just work. Adrian Rogers said, you cannot feel your way into a work, but you can work your way into a feeling. You're not going to feel like doing it, but when you do it, you know you're doing it for the Lord. And as far as Nehemiah was concerned, they had to keep on working. You know, in the days of Haggai, which is a contemporary here, just a little bit earlier, Haggai said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. And in Haggai's day and in Zerubbabel's day, there were those that said, look, the time hasn't come. And God says, well, when's the time going to come? You've got your sealed houses. You're living in grandeur and opulence. Look at my house. It's a dump. It's in ruin. And the discouragement was there. And God says, it's time to build. It's time to build your life. Build your home. Build your forage, your family. Strengthen your marriage. Build the church for the glory of God. Listen, it's worth fighting for. It's worth it. You see the focus. You see the family. You see the fight. Then you see the fellowship. Look at verse 20. We're nearly finished. In what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. You see, they were spread round the wall. And Nehemiah knew the enemy could come to any point. And so someone would sound the trumpet and the others would come rushing to their help. And when I hear of a trumpet in the word of God, it reminds me of the word of God. We don't want the trumpet to give an uncertain sound. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, we want the trumpet to blow out certainty. But here's the thing that the Lord said to me. You see, when the trumpet sounded, the people came. And I know this pandemic has made it impossible for everybody to come when the trumpet sounds. And I think we're the worst for it. We're the worst for it. We're going to have to start over again getting to know people. There's new people that have come to the church that some of you don't even know. You've never been able to talk to them. Don't you miss the Lord's Day evening when we used to have a cup of tea after the meeting and a bit of crack and you got to know people? Don't you miss it? And I hope you've seen above everything how valuable, how important it is that when the trumpet sounds, you want to gather with the people of God. You want to be there. Even the drive-in church, when the trumpet sounds, you want to be there. Just even to see God's people. There are people coming to the drive-in church, and that's the only time they were out. And how they need to see people, even for their mental health, never mind their spiritual well-being. This has been a hard time, a difficult time. And I just hope that when things open up, that when the trumpet sounds, you have a desire to be here, whether it's the Lord's Day morning, the Lord's Day evening, the Wednesday night, whatever the trumpet sounds, you want to be here, because that's what helps our discouragement, because iron sharpeneth iron, because two are better than one, because we are encouraged to edify and comfort one another, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How we miss it. How we miss it. How we need to rub shoulders with each other. How we need to talk to each other. Find out how we're doing. Find out if we can help. So that we can pray for each other. And I mean pray for each other. And pray really. And pray specifically. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, saith the Lord. Listen, as things open up, don't neglect the assembling of ourselves together. I'm so glad you're here this morning, and thank God for you. Thank God for all those who are at home this morning, and I had to tell you to stay at home, and it breaks my heart. Love to have you here. Don't let the pandemic be an excuse for neglecting the assembling of God's people together. Don't let it be an excuse. How important fellowship is. You see, Nehemiah knew the importance of fellowship. He wanted them to focus on the Lord. He wanted to remind them of their families. He wanted to encourage them to fight. He talked about the fellowship. You know something else he did? And this is a challenge to me and a challenge to any in leadership. He led from the front. Look at verse 22. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. He said, basically, don't go home. Let's stay here, that in the night there may be a guard to us and labor on the day. Verse 23, so neither I. What a man of God Nehemiah was. Nehemiah says, I'm going to do this. Nehemiah was going to lead from the front. It embarrasses me to say it this morning. Sometimes I feel I don't lead from the front. And here's this man of God, and he would lead from the front. He was a good leader. Listen, daddies, you're to give that leadership in the home. Man up, would you? And be the leader that God wants you to be. Nehemiah would lead from the front, and you need to lead from the front. Be the one that encourages. Be the one that pursues a desire to see your little family grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. Have the sword at your hand. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm finished. I can't remember who said this to me, and I apologize this morning to whoever originally said this, but if you look at verse number 10, do you know what the people said? The people said, we can't do it. We can't do it. Are you looking at a situation this morning and you're saying, I can't do it. We can't do it. Whatever it is this morning. Look at verse number 11. Our adversary said, you see, the people said, we can't do it. The enemy said, you won't do it. You won't do it. Do you know what Nehemiah said? Verse 20. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us, for God shall fight for us. Listen, we can't do it. You won't do it. Listen, God can do it. God can do it. Focus on Him this morning. Focus on the Lord this morning. I remember the late Pastor Garrett from Cumber and Dunseverick and quite a few churches he served the Lord in. I remember him preaching one night in Psalm 78, verse 19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And he took the question, can God? Can God? Can God? Do you know what he said? See, when you've got faith, it's not can God. Do you know what it is? God can. God can. We can't do it. The devil says, you won't do it. God says, I can do it. I can do it. And with God's help, you can do it this morning. Let's pray. Let's just stand as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we recognize in our walk with Thee and our service for Thee. And Lord, in everything we do for Thee, even Lord, in our home life and our work life and our school life, but there's times we're discouraged. There's times, Lord, we do honestly say we can't do it. Lord, would You give us the grace this morning to look to the Lord? Because our God shall fight for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, no doubt among this number and among those who are watching from home, We find discouraged people this morning. Lord, will you put your hand upon them? And like David of old, will they be encouraged in the Lord and realize that God can and God will. Bless thy word to our hearts. Be with those who must leave us now, Lord, as we wait around this table. Grant us a continued sense of thy presence. For it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. But ask the office bearers to open the doors, and those closest to the back, if they'll leave first, with the exception of those who are staying for the Lord's table. Thank you very much.